Last week, if you were here, we began a series on stewardship and considered the importance of material possessions and wealth and whatnot and how it ties in with our spiritual lives. Today, I want us to transition from that idea into the generous heart of God and what that looks like. But before we go there, let's take a moment and let's go before the Lord in prayer. Let's pray. Lord, open our eyes and our hearts today to the things that you have in store for us through your word, your living word in Christ. And thank you for the testimony of these who are living proof of your generous heart in our midst. God, in this brief time that you've given us today, instill within us what it means to be generous givers, just as you are the ultimate generous giver. For all that you've done in Christ Jesus, we pray and we say thank you. Amen and amen. I want to make this kind of simple and to the point for an illustration today. Don't want to make it real complex, but I want us to think in terms of open-handedness and grasping at things. And the scripture that Jan shared with us from Deuteronomy speaks of God as the open-handed Father, the one who is the giver, and he calls those that he's called out to release one another at a certain period of time. If there is a debt that's owed to you, there comes a time to call time out, and God's going to call them to open-handedness. But before we go there, I want you to just hold up your hands. Okay, all right, that's good. And then just do like this. All right, be careful of your neighbor. None of that. When we come into this world, you guys are a great class, you can put your hands down. When we come into this world, we are born like this. Believe it or not, if you've not had children or not seen that, it is a fact. It's the physiology of the way that babies come into the world grasping with their hands closed. And if you get near that child and you put anything near it or a finger around it, it will squeeze hold of that. Anything you put in it, it will grab a hold of it. He or she will grab it, and then you need to do this because then the next thing, it's going to go to its mouth. So we are born naturally as graspers. And I want to just use that as an example today. So as infants, we just come clutching into the world. And then as toddlers, all of us hear this word, mine, 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 mine. And everything is mine, and my circle is mine. And some people never grow out of that. And so as we move from toddlers to elementary school and middle school age, we begin to grasp other things like handlebars and ball bats and pens and pencils and writing utensils and Barbie dolls and G.I. Joes, and we take those and we hold on to them and we kind of work out an identity of sports and play and those kind of things. And then when we get into high school age, whether we like it or agree with it or not as parents, our sons will take a girl's hand or our daughters will take a boy's hand and they begin to hold hands and begin to make relationships that way. And then we get into college and we begin to hold on to some things, new ideas, new freedoms as we've moved away from mom and dad. And some things some of us probably picked up in college that we don't really want to share and talk about today. And that's okay too. And we go away to college to gain skills of a new career. And then at the end of that, we have two hands with a diploma. Woo! On the other side of the stage, and mom and dad are in the auditorium going, "Woo! I can't believe they did it." And we celebrate with them. And then as we get older, we enter the work world and we take a hand and we clutch the lower rung, and then we grab the next rung, and then we work our way up another rung of the ladder as we work out a career choice. And sometimes people tend to grab a hold and push others back as they're coming up behind them, not allowing them to get close and to be a part of the same, on the same rung that they're on. And then as we get into middle age, we continue to grasp a hold of things like retirement and pension and Social Security and so forth. As we get into retirement age, we grasp things like golf clubs and cameras and other things that we do and garden tools and so forth. And then we get into the golden years, and somebody has told me, I don't know why it's called golden, because it doesn't feel very golden, amen? Yeah, in fact, another saint told me one day coming out of church, you know, you can't be a sissy and grow old. And I say, you know, I'll let you know when I get there. I'm trusting that you know what you're talking about. But when we get to the golden age, we begin to grasp a hold of things like walkers and canes and loved ones that hold us up and walk along with us and care for us. And then I've been told by other pastors, and I've seen it myself from time to time, when we get to those final moments, there are people that are grasping the hold of the edge of the bed, just some level of uncertainty, waiting to see what's happening next as we pass from this life to the next. And then eventually there's a letting go, and we no longer grasp a hold of things in this life. I say that because clutching and grabbing and holding and living in this posture comes natural as human beings. It's just like breathing. It's what people do in the life we find ourselves. We grab and we hold on to possessions and we get things for ourselves, and that's the way that we function for a big part of life. But when you think back with me, if you were here last week and we heard about the stories of Mary and Zacchaeus and John and even the widow who put the mites in the offering plate, and about their situation of free giving, those around them that were watching them were kind of a part of that crowd that were afraid to let go, afraid to give as God calls us to give. On the other hand, excuse the pun, God is not that way. Our God is open-handed in all ways. That's normal for God. You ever notice that when you read the scriptures? Whenever you study the Word of God, or whenever you hear the stories of Jesus, or whenever you see God interacting with people, God is always open-handed in offering of Himself and of everything that He has to give. That's normal for God. But what's normal for humans is just the opposite at times. I want you to hold on to that illustration for a moment as we think today about the generous hand and heart of God. As I said, humans are natural graspers. We operate, we live, we function, we breathe, and we exist in a world that scrapes and claws and works and frets over how we can get ahead and what we can get and what we can hold on to before someone else finds a way to take it away from us. It's kind of the nature of the beast, if you will, but not Jesus Christ. You see, I believe today we struggle to release our grip and to relax our grip on things in this life. Think about it. Our reflexive response to someone to give up something dear is to hold on with all that we have. I shared earlier in the service this morning that yesterday I learned that my dad had to go in for another brain surgery this morning, and he's actually there right now. And when I got that call and I was talking yesterday on the phone, my knee-jerk reaction was to take this posture and say, okay, what can I manipulate? What can I change? What can I bargain? And I realized in the midst of that, God, I can do nothing. This is out of my hands, but I'm putting it in yours. And I trust you. No matter what happens on that table, I trust you today. And I believe when we come to God with that mindset and that open-handedness, that He always honors that and receives our request well. See, the normal response in life, though, whenever we have kind of scraped our way and made ourselves and got our stuff and worked our way up in the world, is to say, no way. I'm not going to do that for her. I may do it for him because he's been nice to me, but I'm not going to release that to them because they act a way that they wouldn't appreciate it. And sometimes I'm that way toward God. In fact, actually, as I was thinking yesterday of releasing my prayer, my concern, and my doubts and everything else to God, I have an option to sometimes go, I wasn't expecting this. Why are you doing this? Come on, God. But that's not an option because I know the God who's open-handed and would not want me to react that way. Because from the scriptures this morning in Deuteronomy, we hear this word. In the seventh year, which is a sabbatical year, so it's like the seventh day of the week, the Lord is going to call for the slate to be made clean. Now, if you're someone that has a debt coming into you, that may not sound like good news. But if you're that person that the debt is sitting on, that sounds like wonderful news. And so God is able, because the reality is, these folks that were taken out of the land for that particular time were given a spot of land that was not their own, even though they kind of worked and strove and were able to bring it about, because God said, this is what you need to do to take the land. But they really didn't deserve it. They really didn't earn it. It was a gift. God gave them the land, so God was able to do what He wanted to do with the land. So in the seventh year, come the seventh year, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless not just the ones that are holding the debt, because obviously, anybody in debt here? Okay, you don't have to do that, but you can. I am. Yeah. Not proud, but I got some. But in that seventh year, the ones with the debt would have been going, whew, it's gone. I am blessed. But you know, folks, the reality is the one who was holding the debt against the other one was blessed, because all of a sudden now they get to experience the character of the God who had called them out of the land in the first place. This is how God's posture is to those who come with an open heart and receive what He has to offer. They were able to experience what it is like to release someone that owed them something and not hold it against their account anymore. And they were able to stand there in good conscience and say, be blessed. God used them as a conduit to send that blessing to someone else. That's all He's calling us to do today, is generous giving, as you heard on the screen, people that try to be as He is. And so the normal response is not to do that. For most, clutching, as I said a moment ago, is like, it's like taking the next breath. You got to do it or you die. It's the way that we start out when we are born into this world. In a natural sense, it is natural. But folks, we are not to be natural. Our God is abnormal. If you will, He is supernatural. And that's what He wants you and I to be today. So if we're functioning in a supernatural way, we begin to take this posture instead of this posture, because the reality is this posture in life separates, tears apart families over stuff that really does not matter. Amen? In fact, this posture will tear apart a church, it will split companies, it will end relationships, and it'll put up walls that sometimes never come down except to the glory of God whenever we allow Him to take them down and we begin to give and be generous as He is. See, God calls you and I to be abnormal today, praise God. Just as I said the other week, He calls us to be a little fruity. Today, we are called to be supernatural as He is when it comes to our giving. But God, I love that phrase. Every time I see it in the Bible, something's going to happen. But God. But God, what about God's state of being? The generosity of God reflects a much different posture than my hands normally do. And I want to be as He is. And so I want to learn what this posture looks like. From day one, when He began to create, we had a giving God. You know what it was all about. He spoke and things began to happen and come into being. In the beginning, God created, and so on, and so on, and so on, and it was all good. But you know why He did that? For two reasons, I believe, today. Number one, He created for you and I to be caregivers and to enjoy His creation. Essentially, He created that we would be good stewards. He created so that we could show our stewardship for what He made. Consider the history of God's people. When you read from Genesis, even on in through Revelation, God is a God of revealing Himself to the people. God is a God of drawing people into relationship. God calls out, and I heard in the videos even this morning, to give us food and clothing and all of our needs and loved ones and community and relationships of people that matter. He fed His people. He led them. He protected them. He blessed them. He loved them time and time and time again. Even in the grumbling of the wilderness, God never stopped caring and providing and loving for His people. And so the psalmist says it this way, you open your hand and you satisfy the desires of every living thing. What an amazing statement that's never, ever, ever going to grow old. You open your hands and you satisfy the desires of every living thing. Jeremiah states it this way, and praise God, this was not planned, but I'm grateful for Kim's music this morning where the prophet says his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness, God our Father. Have you witnessed this lately? Where have you witnessed this in your life? Where have you not just witnessed it, but where have you been an open-handed conduit to pass it on to someone else in their life? Now, this isn't to keep score, but it's to bless so that we will bless others, and to recognize that that is our posture that God calls us to, not just from time to time, but every single breathing moment of our lives, we are to have an open-handedness about who we are in Jesus Christ. You see, my natural posture is protective. It's closed. It's to be like this. But the longer that I hang out with Christ, and as I grow in my relationship with Jesus Christ, my hands stay open for longer periods of time and touch and reach in places that otherwise I never ever would have wanted to reach into or touch before. Amen? Yes. Because He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He feeds me and takes care of me. And He also sends me to the places that He would be found serving. What did Jesus do with open hands? Now, this isn't a quiz as much as it is a celebration, because you know the stories. We've read them our whole lives from Sunday school growing up. We know of what Jesus did. He taught. He healed. He went to people and touched them. He loved them. He fed them. He freed them from what demons they had inside. He cast them out by the touch of a hand. Though the story says He didn't have to touch them. Jesus could just speak a word of faith and people's lives were turned upside down. But there were times, I believe, because He's such a compassionate, caring God, that He went and He touched a leper just because that person had not been touched in years. And it said without a word, "I care for you." We have the ability to have that same touch in other people's lives as God's Spirit reaches through us. You see, I believe today that the ultimate act of open-handedness was the cross of Jesus Christ. Because the reality, folks, is that my Lord could have stood there and done this toward the Father, but He never did. He never did. He was always willing to go as far as it took. But the most profound promise of Scripture today is this: anyone who comes to God reaching out with an open heart will always be met with open hands. I want you to hear that today. For some of us, that's old news. Yeah, I know that, but I want you to hear it again. Anyone that reaches out to God with an open heart is received with open hands, no matter where you've been, no matter what you've done, no matter what has been done to you. Yeah, I would forgive that person, but who's forgiven you? Who's ultimately forgiven me? The only one that could. I think God's open-handedness is an outward symbol of an inward reality of generosity of our God. You know, last week one of those professional, non-professional actors that was up there said something along this line. They said, you know, you cannot outgive God. And it's not new. I've heard that before. It's, you know, it's almost like a Christian cliche, but the reality is it's a deep truth that comes from the Scripture. And I've heard story upon story and even experienced it in my own life. There have been people in my life that said, you know, Pastor, I would give 10% off the top first fruit, but I got bills. I got a car that's on its last wheel. I got children in school. Okay. But then when they got to the point to where they said, but I wrote the check anyway, and I sent it, and I did away with it, not knowing what was going to happen, and then a couple days later, I went out and I opened the mailbox, and you know the story. There's something there that I never saw coming. Now, does it always work out that way? No. I know it doesn't, but I do know that no one has ever come to me and said, Pastor, I started tithing and my family's out on the street and we're starving. No. What I hear is God has always met us where we needed to be met once I was faithful in doing what He called me to do. I've heard it time and again, and I've seen it. And I'll see it again because God is faithful. Amen. You see, the lavish giving of our God is what distinguishes the Lord from all others. While He desires this distinguishing posture from you and I today. Not that posture, not that we're hanging, but that we're open and that our hands are wide open and that we're willing to go and be and to touch and to teach and to be in places that only He calls us and sends us to as open-handed people. Look again at your hands. Hold them up open this time. And in the earlier service, I had to confess. You know, this is a time of confession now because I cannot straighten my little finger because I broke my hand several years ago. And I can hide it whenever I'm not holding my hands up. So there you go. Little tidbit about the pastor. But take a moment and just look. And as you're thinking about what you're seeing there today, I want you to silently reflect. Do you like what you see? Have you rung them lately over something? Oh my, I don't know how this is going to end. Or have you grasped for things or tried to cling on to things? Or have you opened them an offering of worship and praise to God? Are these hands like the hands of Christ? And would you like for them to be more like the hands of Christ? I think that's a rhetorical question. Amen. You see, it's been said that you can put your hands down. Thank you for your response. It's been said that changed hands come with changed hearts. I want to go back to one of the stories I spent a little bit of time on last week. As an illustration, and I think it's a good one, and it connects well with me, and I hope it does with you. But before we go there, I remember a couple years ago, I was blessed to help bury my grandfather. And as I was talking with the family, he was actually my step-grandfather, but he was so close to me that he was my papaw. And so when I was talking with family members about doing papaw's funeral, his son, my stepfather, Ronnie, one thing I'll never forget, he said, when he was little, my grandfather and grandmother used to be janitors or custodial work for the church, and one of their jobs at the end of the service was to take all the offering and take it home and count it, and they had all the change out on the floor. And he said one thing that stood out in his memory was when he was little and his dad was counting those coins, his hand looked like a baseball mitt. It was so big. And for a little kid, that's the thing he remembered was the strength and the security and the comfort in seeing his dad's hands. And it's just, you know, it struck me because that's not what I was expecting him to say. But it reminded me that my Heavenly Father's hands are just like that. For security and strength and comfort and support, He has the biggest hands of all today. Well, let me revisit the story of Zacchaeus with you again for a few moments. Let's refer to him as Zac, if I can, today. So Zac's story is this. He was a hard clutcher with an iron grip. He was a taker from others. He was one that if he needed to, he would get what he needed from you and didn't care less. But he needs to change your hands, and if he does, he'll start with your heart. And so we start at a place where he's having dinner with Jesus. Can you imagine that? Dinner with Jesus. Wouldn't that be an awesome place to be? You know, Jesus is kind of like, Zac, could you pass the potatoes? And how's it been going? You know, we don't know from the scripture what happened in that interaction, but Zacchaeus comes out of that meeting with changed hands. Amen. And so while they're in there having dinner together, I'm going to speculate for just a moment, if you'll give me liberty. But Jesus might have said, hey, Zac, what your heart yearns for can never be satisfied with your hands like this. Never. It can never be satisfied. because you're grabbing for something that's impossible. What you have struggled to pile up for your selfish desires will never satisfy your need for God and for real loving, forgiving community with others. It cannot happen. It'll never happen. And I could kind of picture Zacchaeus jaw dropping as he's listening to what the master's saying. We don't know exactly what it was. Maybe it was something like that, but we do know that a new open-handed believer of Jesus came forth, and Jesus became more than a story in his life after this interaction that day. Maybe he said something like this: Zacchaeus, I've got to lay this out to you, but in the near future, what I'm going to do for you is open my hands and I'm going to receive steel spikes so that guys and even guys with hands like you can be forgiven. That's what I'm going to do. Your heart will change if you hear that word and believe it and receive it. His did. You see, that's a word from God today for all of us. Jesus said that you cannot live a clutched life. You must be open-handed. He might have gone on to say that guys and girls and men and women like you and I can be changed by that lavish love of open-handed beauty. And even go on to say, Zach, I'm going to take your sin. I'm going to take your greed. I'm going to take your lack of love, and I'm going to nail it to that cross up there, and I'm going to leave it if you walk away from it. You can be as I am today. And so he did. See, I believe, folks, the main point today from the lesson last week about how money and material things tie into my spiritual well-being and how generosity, the generous heart of God, is what God wants my heart to be like. The main point is that when a heart gets transformed by generous grace, hands always have a way of opening up. You just can't have one without the other. It's just amazing. Have you seen that? Have you seen that in the life of someone like Zacchaeus? Because I have. Have you experienced it? If not, all you got to do is say, I'm yours. I'm yours. Jesus may have gone on to say something like this as well. I'd like to think that he said, on top of that, I'm going to do this. I'm going to adopt you. I am going to answer your prayers. I'm going to give you strength in the midst of the storm. And then on top of all of that, I'm going to give you heaven. Which we actually get backwards sometimes, I think, that we dangle heaven out as a reason for people to come to the Lord. But actually, if we love God and walk with God and know Christ, heaven is icing on the cake. It's where we will spend the rest of our days in His presence, giving Him glory and worship. But obviously something that the Master said that day melted the heart of this greedy tax collector. Hear this: when your heart gets transformed by grace, your hands have a way of opening up. That's all I want to leave today as an illustration with you, church, and with myself as we think of what it means to be a good steward of the things that God has given us. When my heart gets right with God, my hands open up in a way that they never could have before. And I give in a way, and I give to things, and I do things that I never would have desired to do before. You see, I believe the scripture today from Deuteronomy says this to the church: God initiates, God empowers, and God envisions, God embodies the vision of open-handedness in our lives and in the lives of all those who will trust in Him. I want you to think just for a moment before we close. Think back to those wonderful children of God who were brave and strong enough to give us a word from their heart today in these videos. And I want you to think about it this way. I want you to think about the question of, is God's heart generous? Well, that seems like a rhetorical question. You know, yeah. Does it snow in Western New York? But because of that point, if I answer that yes today, then does He want my heart to be as His heart? Absolutely. And if my heart is generous like God's heart, what will that look like as I seek to follow Him faithfully? And then also, I want us to think about that question of how possessions and how material things affect what I believe. Does God care how I share what I have? Does God care how I use what I have? Does God care how I receive what I have? Absolutely. And so as we prepare today to close in prayer, I just want you to simply leave here being re-reminded that even though we are born this way and we live in a world that for the most part functions this way, God desires us to live this way. Amen. To be open, to be open-handed, and to be a giving, responsive people. As we were reminded earlier, God calls us and empowers us to love and serve one another. In Jesus' name, let's pray. Lord, when we are honest, sometimes it's hard to be generous in a world that's just not made that way. God, for those who are here today feeling hurt and broken and slighted by the world, Lord, I just pray that You would touch them, that they would trust You as the open-handed, generous, giving God that You are. For the one who comes in this place today and says, you know, I haven't felt a word of what You've said this week, but I trust that God is that way and I want to know that, Lord, would You meet them there? And for the one that is here this morning counting every blessing as given from above, Lord, would You just continue to pour even more into their life so that they can be a conduit to pass it on to those in need, to the hurting and broken and lost without Christ. God, thank You this day for Your word that reminds us of who You are and whose we are. Give us grace to receive that well and to walk out and to walk it out and to live it out loud as we serve You with open hands and hearts full of Your love. We pray in Christ's name. And all God's people said, Amen.